turning in our Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We're also going to look at John 3:16, which hopefully you've memorized, and Romans 6:23, which also I hope you've memorized. So these are three key passages we're going to address here in this message. I'm sure that many of you here, especially children, are excited about the gifts you will receive this Christmas. Others of you, probably adults, are excited about the gifts you will be giving. Most likely, most of you are looking forward to both giving and receiving gifts. Preparation for this gift giving has occupied a good bit of your time and thoughts lately, I imagine. Questions may be going through your mind. Will the gift I bought or made be what the person wants or needs? Will they appreciate its worth? I remember as in my younger years, as I used to like to make Christmas gifts out of wood, and I would make train sets or doll cradles or other things like that. And I always wondered, this has taken me a lot of time and effort, but I wonder if they'll even like it. So I might have went ahead and did it anyway. But anyway, I know that my appreciation for a gift will usually be related to my sense of need for it or understanding of how useful it will be to me. For instance, I vividly remember the Christmas I was given my first iPhone. Wow, that was amazing. No, I wasn't a teenager. I was about 30 or more, 35, no, 45. No, it was here. And so I was 47 or 48 years old. So yeah, that was exciting for a 48-year-old. Okay, it was a little slow. Anyway, I also remember the time my wife surprised me and bought me a table saw. Wow, that was exciting. So I'd like to draw your attention to the greatest of all gifts, which God gave to men in a glorious way around 2,000 years ago. You see, all of us, including you, have a great need. In fact, this need is very bad news. Man is a sinner. All of us are born sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Furthermore, the penalty of sin is death. This is speaking ultimately of hell, the lake of fire. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. In Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, and death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you notice in that list of those who will end up in the lake of fire that all it takes is for you to be unbelieving? That means you, if you have not yet repented of your sins and trusted in Christ alone to save you from sin and hell, did you notice also that all liars will end up there as well? Have you ever told a lie? This alone means that you have earned a place in the lake of fire. This is very bad news indeed. But please hang on. There's some good news that is coming after one more piece of bad news. By the way, you say, well, I never tell anyone under, 13 years old about hell. Listen, when I was 7 years old, I heard a very striking sermon on hell by Pastor Duvaldi in Vineland, New Jersey. And I remember really, really paying attention. As a seven-year-old boy, oftentimes I would be drawing pictures in my little notebook while the sermon was going on. I would sort of tune out. However, because of the fact that I can't tune out anything, my wife has a wonderful capacity to tune out. She can concentrate. I can't concentrate. I'm ADHD or something like that. And so, therefore, if I hear a sound, I hear it. It registers. I can't tune it out. And so, Pastor DeBelde was preaching about hell. Well, I perked up my ears, but what 7-year-old isn't fascinated by the idea of hell? And very soon I realized that I deserved hell. And when he talked about liars, I thought, oh, yeah, that's me. So I had told many lies. In fact, I got very good at it. And oh, the Holy Spirit was convicting my heart. And what a blessing to hear the good news about it. But one more piece of bad news. You can't do anything to save yourself from this terrible predicament. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't work it off. You can't somehow do more good works than bad works to try to outweigh your bad works, as all these false ideas have been promoted in so many ways. Listen, one sin is enough to get you into hell. But I don't know of anybody who's only committed one sin. I think all of you realize that we are sinners. All of us have sinned. All of us are born sinners. The penalty for sin is an eternity in the lake of fire, and you can't do anything to save yourself from this terrible predicament. These three facts are all very bad news. However, God is offering you a great gift, which is, in fact, very good news. First of all, God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That includes you and me. That he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary. That whoever believes in, that is, trusts in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Secondly, God made a way to save you from your sin and grant you eternal life with him in heaven. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. Thirdly, this gift from God's heart of love is salvation, eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But the rest of the verse goes on, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 that I just read a few moments ago, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That salvation by grace through faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. The choice is yours. Will you receive this greatest of gifts or reject it? Whenever I talk to somebody about the matter of salvation, and I especially in December bring out the idea of Christmas gifts. And I said, look, if someone offered you a gift, what would you do? Would you say, no thanks, don't want it? Or would you accept it? Most people would say, well, it depends on what it was. I said, what if it was worth $1 billion? Would you accept it or would you reject it? Well, I'd accept it. Well, this is what God did. Something worth much more than $1 billion. Salvation for eternity. It must be received by faith. The Apostle Paul declared in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, the response you must make to God's offer of his gift of salvation. You must make a decision that involves repentance and faith. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, it says, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. What does it mean to believe in Christ for salvation? There are many people who believe that Christ lived and died 2,000 years ago in Israel. They may even believe that he was truly God the Son, come in the flesh in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. They may even understand and agree with the fact that they are sinners, that God is holy and heaven is a perfect place, and that sinners cannot ever merit heaven. They may understand that Jesus paid fully for their sins on the cross and that he will impute his perfect righteousness to every sinner who makes that decision to trust Christ alone for salvation from sin and hell. And this, by the way, is the meaning of repentance. A change of mind is what the Greek word behind that word means. Before, you saw yourself as basically good. Now you realize you are a sinner, condemned before a holy God. Before, you thought God would accept your church membership or your good works or your baptism or anything else. Now you see that God only accepts the perfection of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that you must receive his perfect righteousness imputed to you, put to your account, so that God sees you through the perfect righteousness of his Son Jesus. But though an individual may understand and agree with these facts, there's one more aspect of biblical faith that is needed. You must place your trust, your complete dependence, only on Jesus Christ to save you from sin and hell. If you are depending on your church or your good works or anything else in addition to Christ, then that is a split trust, which is the same as a mistrust. I've used this illustration before. I borrowed it from Evangelist John Van Gelderen. And just imagine with me two chairs, and one chair on the right and another chair on the left. And can you imagine if someone would say, would you place your trust in this chair, the one on the right? And they would say, well, sure, but they would sort of scoot to the edge and place half of their bottom on the other chair as well, sort of straddling both chairs. Are they truly depending on the right-hand chair to support their weight? No. They're hedging their bets, so to speak, by placing half of it on that chair and half of it on the other. Well, that's exactly what God says. You must place your entire dependence on Christ alone to save you from sin and hell. Not only must this free gift be received by faith, this gift of eternal life is yours for the asking. In Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we read this: for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. And here it's separating all of mankind into two groups, Jew and non-Jew. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him, whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What verse 13 is simply saying is that whoever will sincerely ask the Lord to save them from sin and hell will be saved. Have you repented of your sins and asked the Lord to save you from sin and hell because you are trusting, depending on him alone to save you? When I was witnessing to an individual quite a while ago, I remember they're asking, well, how much repentance do you have to have? Or how They weren't sure about how this repentance worked. And I had to explain to them, look, repentance simply means a change of mind. Before you were depending on yourself, you were depending on your church, you're depending on your parents, you're depending on your good works, whatever it may be. And maybe you were also depending on Christ, but you were splitting your trust, which is a mistrust. Repentance is simply a change of mind. Now that you know the truth, have you changed your mind? Will you believe what God says in His Word? That's repentance. Repentance isn't feeling so sorry that you agonize or you bleed through your eyelids or whatever. No, it is not a matter of working this up. Repentance is a change of mind. That's it. That's all. So therefore, the next step is, will you then trust the Lord Jesus? Will you actively make that decision to trust the Lord Jesus to save you? Because he said he would. Will you bow your heads for a moment before we close this message in prayer? As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, no one looking around. Perhaps you've come today not having previously understood your need for salvation from sin and hell, nor having understood the gift of salvation, eternal life, that God is offering you. But right now you've understood enough by hearing God's word read and explained to you to know that you need to accept this gift of eternal life that God so freely offers you today. Will you tell God right now that you agree with him that you are a sinner, deserving of hell, and in need of his salvation? Would you be willing to raise your hand so that I can see it and can pray for you in our closing prayer that God would give you the courage to talk with me or my wife or anyone else here whom you would trust to show you from God's word how to accept this wonderful gift of salvation of eternal life? Perhaps you're listening on Zoom. Perhaps you're even listening later on our website. Listen, consider the invitation open. Contact me. The contact information is there on our website. Please don't put it off. Don't put this off. Contact me so that we can talk and I can show you from the Bible how to make sure of your salvation. Perhaps you're here today and you have received God's gift of salvation through Christ. Have you been sharing this gift with others? I know that when I receive, say, a gift of brownies in a pan, there's only so many brownies I can share with those around me before they're all gone. But listen, salvation is not like that. You can share it with thousands of people, and it's still there more for every person that you witness to. So, Christian, have you been sharing this gift of salvation with others? This good news of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ? These days before Christmas is an especially effective time to give the gospel to those who have not yet trusted Christ to save them. Let the Lord use you as effective witnesses to those who need to hear the good news of salvation in Christ. You may be saying to me, Pastor, I really am a shy person. I really don't know the Bible very well. I just don't know what I would say. Okay, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to listen to this short message again and again and again until you are confident you could explain to a lost person how to be saved? This message will be posted on our website by this evening. Please, if you're not confident, listen to it again and understand how to explain the gospel to a lost person. What a wonderful gift is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful gift of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to grow up, to be a man who then died on the cross of Calvary and paid for our sin. Because he was God-man, he was infinite, and his sacrifice was infinite. And therefore, it was sufficient to save everyone who would trust him as Savior. I thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for sending your Son so that we could have this greatest of all gifts. I pray that we would have a heart of love and courage to share this gift of eternal life with others by telling them the wonderful good news of salvation in Christ. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.